How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday, November 21st. You are blessed and just excited and really, really pumped to listen to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I am your substitute host. I am not the man with the award-winning beard. I am not the man with the holy beard. I am not DJ. I am instead the man from Cloud Nine in the Purple Haze. Bucky's tag team partner, destined to go through a barbershop window. I am Jason, and of course, I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob. How are you, sir?
All right, good to be here.
Excellent. And Mr. DJ is on assignment again. He is off in the wilds of Saskatchewan looking for Brock Lesnar and other wilderness beasts. We will get a report from him next week. But, Rob, we really do not have much going on despite the fact that Full Gear is this weekend. I don't think either one of us are going to watch it. Well, are you going to watch Full Gear this weekend, Rob?
Oh, it's going to be a game time decision because there are like three matches I really want to see. But then the rest of it is just like a skip for me. Like, I want to see Bobby and Swerve. I want to see Mercedes and Statlander. And I want to see, what was the other one?
Do you?
Oh, and Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. Yes. Because, look, Ospreay has won me over. I never thought this would happen.
Oh, Ospreay's won me over too, dude. He's found the lane where it's... He's moved enough into the sports entertainment realm where I'm like, all right, man, let's play ball.
And not only that, but like, I mean, yes, he does the flippy stuff, but he's so damn good at it. Like,
oh, he's one of the best ever. Like, I that's not even hyperbole. And we've taken this man to task for other ways that he presents pro wrestling. But dude, he is one of the most gifted athletically pro wrestlers that I have ever seen. So, and I'm a giant nerd. So when he does the Assassin's Creed stuff and all that shit, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and we'll see. And the problem, ultimately the problem with the flippy stuff, it's not like the four or five people who are like really outstanding. It's the other 50 guys who aren't as good.
Right.
And they're just jumping around with no purpose or anything, and you know, and not doing it as well.
It's literally what was it, Stewart from Mad TV? Look what I can do.
Yeah, but like when you know when you got him and like Ricochet and you know Speedball, Mike Bailey, you know those type of dudes. I mean, it's a different thing, right?
Well, because, I mean, they're not doing the stuff. We're totally getting sidetracked, but I don't care. They don't Will and Speedball and all those guys do the stuff. They do the flippy stuff. They do the, like, super combo, like, weird collisions in the ring that would never happen in any sort of, like, fighting ever. But because of the impact and because of the speed and because of the velocity that they do it with, and maybe for lack of a better term, the belief with which they do it, they make it work in certain situations. Obviously, we've talked before about some of these guys being like, right, that fourth triple Southow 360 off the top rope was not necessary. But my, but to your point earlier, Will has been, not listening. He's been listening to his, like, the good voices in his head. He has not been listening to those voices who have been like, hey, one more, do it higher. Yeah, nope. He's like, I made the point in the story or whatever. And he gets it across. So yeah, I'm with you. Will Ospreay has, like, I've definitely turned a corner on that guy, and I see why he's been one of the top guys in AEW.
Yeah. And, I think, our buddy in NXT, Javon Evans, I think he can get there.
I agree. Yeah, Javon think... also, like, he literally just needs reps. And that's, you know, we're going to see some cool things from Javon Evans in the years to come.
Yeah, so I think, you know, as far as who's next, I think he can get there. I think Kyle Fletcher can get there. And to that end, I mean, so basically there are three matches I really want to see. I'm not really interested in seeing the match between Moxley and Orange, but I do want to see what type.
I want to see the fallout.
I want to see what type of felony he's going to commit after the finish.
What kind of type of nonsense happens after the finish, even if, I don't know. It's clearly that story is going somewhere. It's hopefully we get past the Moxley Nation that we have here. Hopefully we can evolve this thing a little bit more. Because I'm sorry, guys, Cesaro, when you guys were doing your little promo in your corner and in the corner of, you know, the back, you got the camera like you did in the Shield days, and Cesaro in a white t-shirt, bald head, just starts screaming in German at the camera. The things we've been talking about this group, you're not helping the accusations about what this group looks like, guys.
Yeah, and so like when...
Can we move away? And it doesn't help that the only person, I believe, with a hint of color in them is Wheeler Yuta, and he's the whipping boy of the group.
Yeah, that's, and then it's not, because it reminds me, like, when the Nation of Domination first started, right? It was Fruk, there's D'Lo, and then they had the manager, Clarence Mason, and then they just had, like, a bunch of, like, kind of nondescript goons.
Yeah.
And it turns out they weren't, those guys weren't even wrestlers, they were, like, Clarence Mason's frat brothers, and so they weren't wrestlers, they just kind of stood there. And then D'Lo was the only guy who could take bumps, so that's why he was in the group at the beginning. But they were all black guys, and they all had on, like, black coats, and then they had, like, the black and green accent on them. And then they looked like the Nation of Islam. And then Clarence Mason had on a black suit and bow tie, and they looked like the Nation of Islam.
So what'd they do?
And so they put in Crush and Savio Vega.
There you go.
And because, look, the Nation of Islam isn't as prominent today, but in the mid 90s, they were all over, like, a lot of rap videos, and they were getting mentioned. But let me just tell you, the same type of allegations that are being made about the Moxley group could have been made about the Nation of Islam, because they served up some, very healthy portion, not healthy, but very heaping portions of homophobia and anti-Semitism and misogyny underneath all of the, you know, other rhetoric. And so
it's not good. So you want to, like, shy away from that look. Like, it really wouldn't be hard. Like, seriously, if Wheeler Yuta was the number two or like the heavy or something like that, or the guy, the executioner, the guy you just send out and say, yeah, Wheeler, do your finisher, kill that guy. Like, a lot of these problems would be at least tapered down. But holy shit, man, you're basically answering every question on this test wrong.
Yeah.
So, just a little redirect, a little, you know, focus, and I think we can get away from the Ambrose Aryan Nation.
Yeah. But so to that end, I mean, my, you know, I'm interested in, again, what type of, how many laws are going to violate at the end of that match. But not the match. I'm not really interested in the match itself, to be honest. So any shot
that Orange winning is part of the story?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they're doing it full gear. I mean, I think he's going to come close, but I think, you know, he's going to kill him dead. I mean,
we're going to get Death Rider through a flaming table off the top rope or something ridiculous. Something.
Yeah.
Because Orange isn't afraid to do that shit either.
Oh, no, no. And so.
No, Orange would just be like, all right, yeah, fucking kill me. All right, let's go.
So I'm leaning towards skipping this one because.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and memo to Tony, you should, and I think I was going to plug the TNA thing. I might as well do it now. Tony, okay, if you're going to do like 10 or more pay per views in a year, You need to have a tier system, which is what TNA does. Their big three or big four are the full $40. But then the rest of them are like 20 or 30. And if you have TNA Plus, you get all the B pay-per-views. You only have to pay for the big ones like Slammiversary and Bound for Glory, you know? If you're going to be doing 10 or more pay-per-views a year, Tony, then you needed some type of pricing tier, because asking people to pay $50 for a B show in November is a lot. Okay.
Tony, I just want to tell you something. WWE has not asked for more than, what's Peacock now, $12? Like the lowest tier?
Yeah.
So let's just say it's $12. WWE has not asked for more than $12 for their pay-per-views since April 6th, 2014. You are so far behind in terms of the current model of like wrestling pay-per-views. Even TNA, like as Rob is illuminating, has it a little bit better than you do with these minor shows and, you know, all this. Well, a lot better than you do, I should say. $50 per show is insane. Obviously WWE has the best. You know, it's free 99 basically at this point with the Peacock, and, you know, WWE Network was only $9.99. So, yeah, man, like, I just want to know, why don't you have a streaming deal at this point? Like, what's going on? Turner clearly thinks that you're good enough to keep around and to keep on their network television, but because you re-signed the deal recently, but you haven't found a home to do anything comparable in a pay-per-view structure to your biggest the king of your industry. I am just bum-fuzzled at this point as to why, like, Bleacher Report didn't work out something better, DAZN didn't pick them up for anything, like, maybe they had a couple of shows on that, but regardless, they were still, like, $20. It's just very, very odd, and I wonder what the big bugaboo is as to why that doesn't compute, because it just seems like since WWE has been like doing this kind of business model, obviously it was on the network at first, but then you just have a built-in audience that just comes to your network every month, period. Just a shit ton of people come to your network Every single month. I just don't understand what happened. What has happened that AEW cannot get any sort of deal resembling that? It's very odd. Rob, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, because, I mean, they're supposedly, they're working on something.
They've been supposedly working on shit for 3 years, dude.
I mean, I agree, but now, because now, I mean, I don't know what the, like, because with this new deal they signed, they got some type of streaming thing with Max that's going to be starting next year. I forgot how the terms or whatever.
Oh, okay.
I'm just an idiot. I just look like a dummy now.
Well, not, look, I was trying to break in.
Sorry. But, I was on fire.
But still, even, they've been around for 5 years now, so it shouldn't have taken them this long. They should have figured something out.
No, they should have this at the end of year one.
Yeah. Because now look, and now everybody's model is different. Okay, like MLW, they put all their stuff on YouTube. They occasionally have like a pay-per-view on Fight TV, maybe like once a year, but they put all their stuff on YouTube, but they've been having bigger crowds and selling more tickets all year. Now I haven't really watched any of their stuff all year, but I still follow them on social media. And so they've been announcing, you know, sell out here, sell out there. So their model is working, right? And so everybody's model is different, right? Everybody can't, you know, some people, like with MLW, I think right now they're focused on getting people to buy tickets. So they're putting their shows on YouTube for free.
Mm.
But their focus is to get people to see what they have so that they'll buy tickets. Okay.
Butts and seats? What? That's a novel concept, Rob.
Yeah.
Butts and seats? That's crazy.
Yeah. And then TNA has been having, you know, they've had a good year for ticket sales, you know, relative to previous years. And they have a tier system, you know, because TNA doesn't, because Anthem owns TNA and Anthem owns Access TV, so they don't have a media deal. Right. So they do have to charge some type of money and make some type of money directly from pay-per-views, which, okay. But they have a tier system, right? You can, if you subscribe to TNA Plus, which I do, it's like, I think it's like $90 for the whole year, I think, something like that. And you get the whole archive and you get the B shows, you know, pay-per-views. And then if you want to order one of the big four pay-per-views, you have to pay for those separately. But that's still, I mean, TNA Plus is a great deal.
Tony, TNA is ahead of you. Yes. Technologically. TNA. Total nonstop action. They named it TNA because it sounds like tits and ass.
Yes.
This is who is lapping you.
Yes, and you're still selling hard copy DVDs.
Oh my god!
Which, I mean, look, I'm all for
having. There's a market. Movie. There's always going to be a market for physical media, but man, put some shit in order first. Like, let's not worry about the collector's market of DVDs until you have a streaming deal, you know?
Yeah, and And so it's because of that that's why I'm probably not going to get, as much as I want to see Bobby and as much as I want to see Ospreay and as much as I'd like to see Statlander and Mercedes, unless I just cave in at the last minute, which I probably will. But still, I mean, right now, I mean, while I still have my wits about me here and I'm still thinking straight and I'm not bored on a Saturday, you know, I'm saying it's a no. Okay.
Well, I would be in the same boat, cause I would probably get it at the game day decision and my wife would be like, let's just get it if we didn't end up doing anything. But I will be at, a cousin's wedding. So unfortunately I will miss it.
So yeah, I probably will end up caving in and ordering it. But right now, I mean, I'm saying no right now. So
you're gonna, but you're mad about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. But
all right, so that's our Full Gear preview show, everyone. Yes. Everyone's excited for AEW Full Gear.
Yes.
Go get that show.
Yeah. I mean, all in all, look, if you're an AEW fan, you more than likely, by the time the show is over, you'll probably be satisfied, I think. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a good show. I mean, there's going to be some awesome matches on there, but yeah. And I probably would have got it had I not had plans.
And this will kind of be, this will be kind of the deciding factor here for old Mercedes here, I think, because,
bro, can we talk about something? Dude, I was watching Dynamite. It is Thursday, as I said at the top of the show. It is Thursday, November 21st. Yesterday was Wednesday, November 20th. Dynamite was on. And so Mercedes comes out for her entrance. And I'm like doing 15 different things and flipping and whatnot. I'm like, oh, okay, perfect. Awesome. She's coming out. Let me see what's going on. She comes out and she's doing her little dance and it's CEO, 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 CEO. And bro, as you just heard, as soon as the audience participation part of her theme stopped, it was silent in there. What the hell happened? Like, this girl was at one point one of the hottest things in women's wrestling, if not wrestling, at certain points. And now it's just like, oh, yeah, there she is. Okay.
Oh, man.
I'm blown away, man.
I think, all right, so she's kind of 50-50 in the when the bell rings this year.
At this point, yeah, I'd agree with that.
Well, because, I mean, her match with Willow was really good. The match she had with Stephanie McCurry was really good. Yep. The one with Britt was not so much. She had one with Hikaru Shida after that, and that wasn't very good either.
Right.
So, and then, you know, TV matches are TV matches, you know. Right.
Yeah, they can ebb and flow.
Yeah, just because a lot of it just depends on what the purpose of the TV match is in the first place.
Right. Are we here to get a match? Or are we here to put on a good show and put on a match? Or are we here to advance the story?
Yeah. So we
give a little grace for TV matches.
Yeah, but man, I mean,
so she has lost her fastball. Gone.
Well, she's. I guess. I'm just trying to wonder, like. I mean, she was never a great promo person anyway.
She's leaned into all of her worst habits. She's like, I will enunciate everything to the point where it's like, okay, I understand you're trying to, you know, get heel heat and whatnot, but no, I want you off of my TV. I want you muted. It doesn't sound annoying, it just sounds bad. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think, because see, I think when she was in WWE, she didn't, somebody would interrupt her, or when she was Bayley did most of the talking when they did the Golden Role Models thing. You know, when she was feuding with Charlotte would cut her off and they would go back and forth. Here it's like she's just monologuing, man, and that ain't it, man.
No, she can't monologue. Like she is a good actor in terms of wrestling. Like she's a good actor. She knows how to react to things. She knows how to like just act in all the various situations that you can be in as a wrestling character. She can't monologue, man. She just can't.
And I mean,
it's okay.
Like, well, there's a reason that most wrestling promo segments are back and forth, or that they last 2 minutes and then they start fighting. Okay, because most, you know, 90% of pro wrestlers are not good actors. Okay, they can the good. You know,
you're someone, adult fighting in a, on a weeknight in your underpants. Don't overthink it, and if you overthink it, we're going to overthink it, and then this whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, because that's the thing, right? It's just, because even, like, the old Piper's Pit, now, I mean, looking back now, I've watched some of those, they were short segments. Like, They did not go 10 or 15 minutes. They were like 5 minute bits, and Roddy would say a couple of things, and then he would get into it with whoever was the guest was, and they'd be in and out in 5 minutes. And Piper was one of the best talkers ever, right?
Oh yeah.
And so they got him in and out in 5 minutes, right? And there was some confrontation going on and everything.
Right.
So there aren't but like one or two people, like Roman can monologue, Punk can monologue, you know, there may be like five people who can really do it.
Yeah. And especially the guys who monologue, like Roman and, you know, Punk and they can do it on their own. Drew can do it now.
Yeah.
We can do it on their own. And I've said it a bunch of different times. Listen, man, I am like this at my own job. So I'm not using this as any sort of like knock on the girl. She needs guardrails. She needs to say, okay, I'm not telling you exactly what to say in your promo. Okay. You can do whatever the hell you want. But I need you to hit this point, and close somewhere around here. You need bullet points. And that's how I am in my job. Like, I'm just like, hey, just give me the bullet points on this task and then let me go. You know, if you just let me in there and say, hey, finish this, I'm like, fucking, I guess I'll finish it and I'll do it and I'll do it to the best of my ability, but it's going to be a slow start. But if you give me some bullet points and just say, hey, I need you this done by this and this done this way and this done that way, anything else, just figure it out. I'd be like, all right, got it. See you later. Don't even talk to me. So I'm not using this as a knock because some people are just like that. But it's very clear from the body of work that we've seen, she does better in a system that has guardrails and has bullet points. And that's perfectly fine. And I'm not even going to say does better. She does leaps and bounds better and is one of the – and Kent has the potential to be one of the best women's wrestlers at that given moment, you know, if they just give her a little bit of assistance. And not even assistance, guardrails, just like guidelines, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I just don't want to seem like I'm shitting on the girl because I'm not. But it's something needs to change.
Yeah, and it's – Yeah, it's just, again, she's not, I mean, like 90% of the pro wrestlers, she's not made for monologue and Tony is allowing her to monologue and it's not really helpful. It kind of drags things down.
Yeah, it does. But we should move on from shitting on Sasha Banks because, you know, this is more of a, what do you call it? We want Sasha to do better. We've seen Sasha do better. We know she can do better. So this is not just like a, you know, she sucks thing. So that's not what that is. But also, Rob would like to go over some of the, Rob, our resident genius, our resident mathematician, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, has some indeed data to go over with us about the state of women's wrestling. That we all know that he dislikes so much, but he does this for us. And we appreciate you, Rob. So, Rob, you may have the floor. Go ahead and let us know. How are things going in the world of women's wrestling?
Okay, so just for context. All right, so last year was not good. looking at things like from a numbers standpoint, like, you know, how many matches people were getting, how many women were getting to wrestle on TV every week, how much time they were getting, you know, how many main events they were getting on TV. Last year was not very good. This year has been, all in all, it's been a rebound.
Now, last year, you mean the totality of 2023. You don't mean the WrestleMania season or whatever?
I mean the totality of 2023 because –
Okay, so right off the top, I'll tell you. And now we're just talking WWE, correct?
Well, I'm talking everybody.
Okay, sorry.
Last year was down.
Go on. I'm just going to sit up. Go ahead.
Last year, except for NXT, it was a down year for everybody. So this year, well, NXT has been great since 2022. Okay. And they were good in 2021, but since 2022, NXT has been the leader for presenting women's wrestling on television. And it's not close. I mean, everyone else struggles to have two women's matches a week.
In terms of per capita, or however you want to phrase it, NXT blows doors off everybody. Am I correct?
Yes, because everybody else struggles to put on two women's matches every week. NXT, there are weeks where they're half the time they have three or even four. Okay.
On a two-hour, one-day-a-week show.
Yeah.
2 hour, 1 days a week.
Yeah. And
it can be done, people.
Yeah. I mean, so they have more matches. They have more matches every week than the 3 hour Raw had, right?
There you go.
Cause in general, it's most, you're almost guaranteed to get one match every week, no matter the company or the show. And
by the way, total side road, does Raw ending at 10 o'clock still freak you out?
Yeah, it's, what?
Well, it's weird? So weird.
You know what's really weird? Okay.
What's that?
It's actually, for me, it's like more skippable being 2 hours. Cause it's easy to forget.
You're not wrong. I just feel like it's very odd. Maybe it's just like a me thing, but I just don't feel the same. They don't always get to that point that it feels like at the end of a 3 hour Raw where you're like, damn, all right, a lot of shit just happened. And you don't feel overwhelmed, but you're like, damn, that was a 3 hour epic. They do not get there at all. And I feel like the show ends abruptly almost every time. Maybe that's because I'm, waiting for the show to end at 11. So when it ends at 10:01, I'm like, oh shit. But yeah, the 2 hour Raw feels very weird. It's still very hard to get used to.
It is very weird. Just follows the reasons you said, and I said that. And again, I find it easier to skip. I mean, even though you would think that, with a big daunting 3 hour thing, it'd be easier to say no thanks to the big daunting 3 hour show. But I find it's just now, if I get into anything else while Raw is on, it's easy just to stay with that, and then, because it's over, Raw's over at 10, and then somebody,
Here's the thing, man. Monday Night Football's still going.
Yeah.
And if it's a close game, forget it, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in the mode of like, oh, it's 10 oh whatever on Raw. Like, I still got time.
Right. So, it's weird, man. It's weird. And, and then of course, and a few of the episodes have been pre-taped. And, which means, and of course, you can't avoid spoilers from, you couldn't avoid spoilers from pre-tape Raw back in, 2000. So you definitely can't avoid spoilers from pre-tape Raw or SmackDown today. And that's the other thing, if it's one of those pre-tape shows, if I've seen the spoilers, I already know what happened. Kind of like, okay, well, just watch football.
Dude, sometimes they put the cart in front of the horse, and they announced the Bloodline, 3-on-3 or whatever it was, before the Bloodline had fully kind of got their shit together. But then also when they announced it, they didn't put it as is the Bloodline going to get their shit together? Are they going to figure this shit out? All of the media announcing it was like, yeah, they're all going to fight each other. So it just, like you're talking about, it puts things out of order and they just kind of move along, which I understand that mentality of just like, yeah, just keep on keeping on. We can't, mess around with this and can't try to live outside time and make sure that these posts go on the right day and all that shit. But yeah, it just, the supreme lack of effort at that point really bum-puzzled me.
Like, for example, this, the thing with Bronson Reed, with Solo and them helping Bronson Reed Monday, we knew about that days in advance of Ross showing up Friday. So, you know, so I guess it's about putting the cart before the horse. Like, we already, like, we knew they were coming to help him Monday already.
Right.
Before, so there was, you know, no real shock value Friday when he showed up to help them. You know, but stuff like that. And so it's just, yeah, Raw is, it's easier to skip right now.
So then getting back to the women's action, so you're saying the women, the NXT is doing the best. How is everybody else stacking up? Who's number two?
Well, this year is SmackDown. And normally, cause Raw usually just gets the edge just on sheer volume because they have 3 hours. And, you know, a lot of times they just kind of stumble into having more, you know, without it being necessarily like a focused thing. Whereas like with NXT, like there's a focus to have all those women's matches every week in NXT.
Correct.
Right. They're not stumbling into it. Raw sometimes, there are a lot of times with Raw where if they do have more, it feels like they kind of stumbled into it. Like they announced they had a battle royal a couple weeks ago when Rhea first got injured. Mm-hmm. And they needed to come up with a number one contender really quick. So they had a battle royal, which meant they had like 15 women wrestle on the show, which is a huge number, right? But that's purely a coincidental kind of thing, right?
Yes.
So with Raw, a lot of times they have bigger numbers off of just coincidence or just the fact of, like, they stumble into it a lot of times.
The fact of how the show is structured.
Yeah. SmackDown this year, especially like post WrestleMania and post draft, SmackDown has been really good because they got the better roster from the draft. They ended up with like 9 or 10 solid TV ready or TV worthy women. It really does. Cause like, you know, Jade, Bianca, Naomi, Bailey, Mia, Nia, Tiffany, Chelsea, Piper, you can throw Candace in there now. That's 10. That's 10 veteran, or at least the ones that aren't veterans are really talented, TV worthy people. And they got a good rotation and they all do stuff with each other. They've all been doing stuff with each other all year. And they've been able to program a lot better this year. Cause like last year they had a 5-woman rotation on SmackDown. They had Charlotte, Bianca, EO, Bailey, and Asuka. And that was it.
Right? Yeah.
And so they were doing, everything was around.
Top heavy.
Yeah. And so, cause remember we said like last year, it was like they're playing universe mode. It was just like, oh, Charlotte versus Asuka. Charlotte and Asuka versus Bailey and EO this week. Oh, yeah. Bailey versus Bianca this week. Oh, Bianca and Charlotte versus Bailey and EO. It was just like rinse and repeat.
Yeah, you throw them into the computer, you figure out who's a face and a heel, and the computer just goes, okay, got it. And spits out a bunch of matches.
Yeah, so this year, I mean, SmackDown's been so much better this year because they have a deeper, they have 10 women, a 10 woman rotation that they've been able, and so it's a lot easier to do storylines and to program, you know, different matchups and different things. They've been really good since like post WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Raw is just, it's kind of, well, it's weird. Well, because, so they gave away, you know, they sent Nia over to SmackDown in the draft, and then Becky leaves in May.
She did okay for herself.
Yeah. You know, Rhea got injured in April and she was out until August. Becky dipped out at the end of May. Nia went over to SmackDown. Chelsea and Piper went over to SmackDown. And so Raw ended up just like a whole lot of kind of people that the audience
hadn't grown to appreciate yet.
Yeah. Or, you know,
audience had not grown to appreciate them yet. And unfortunately, the people who went on the shelf were, you know, our old favorite toys, you know?
Yeah. And so.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, and so that, I mean, that affects the way everything is booked. And so Raw kind of fell behind this year.
It happens the way it happens.
Yeah. And so now, and speaking of that, like TNA was really, they've been decimated this year. Because at the beginning of the year, they lost Naomi, they lost Deonna Purrazzo, and they lost Mickie James all at the same time. And so they've been, you know, but, you know, they've been making it work as best as they can. You know, Jordynne Grace has basically, you know, held the whole thing together all year. And so I'm thinking next year it'll probably be, you know, Masha Slamovich will be doing that next year.
All time wrestling kayfabe name.
Yes, yes.
I will say that every time we mention that girl on our show, Masha Slamovich.
Yes.
Plays a Russian mean white lady. Yes. And with ice in her veins as cold as Siberia. And she's one of the most perfect wrestling characters ever created.
Yes. And then that brings us around to the Root Beer Show, which this year they finally started to turn the corner a little bit.
That's good.
Because like for the first 4 years, you could just pencil it in every week. They're going to have one match. It's going to go about 7 or 8 minutes, and that's going to be it. This year there were a few weeks where they actually had two matches. Which I know that sounds like, you know, and no, that's not a big deal normally, but for them, it is. It's a big change. And look, as much as we were criticizing, Mercedes, her presence there, creates more. You know, we've talked about that before with the horsewomen. Just their presence creates more things on the television show for the women's division that they occupy. I mean, you know, they don't steal all the time. Them being there actually creates more time. And the same thing has been happening with her since she's been there. So as to the degree that we criticized her earlier, I will say her presence there has been a net positive. Because it has created more space, and it has, I mean, it has. And so to that end, it's helped. And to that end, they are doing more and they're actually putting in, you know, of course we've talked about the Toni Storm Mariah May story, how great that's been, but they've been putting in more time and effort to other women's storylines and other things. You know, into Statlander and Willow, and now they got, you know, they've got a bunch of vignettes where Julia Hart's about to come back, and you know, and
Willow is not, Willow is not just the girl in the conglomeration.
No. And so now they're, you know, they have a lot of different actual, you know, they actually have creative things going on now. You know, in a bunch of different spots. And, you know, Deonna and, Taya Valkyrie are putting a group together now. So there, you know, there's different things going on there. They've improved, you know, now look, they still got a ways to go and they still need to do it for more than a few months to say they really turned the corner. But, you know, I have to give them some credit because they have, you know, they've taken the time, they've gotten better at what they're doing. And so all in all, this year is better than last year. Again, last year was bad. This year has been just a improved effort all around. And now on the WWE side, on the WWE main roster side, if you ask me what's missing. What's missing is they're still not telling us that these things are as important as the men's things.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, like, if you go back to 2016, okay, we watched, remember the Hell in a Cell with Charlotte and Sasha Banks? We watched that a month or so ago. Like, that was on the main event of a card where there were two other cell matches, and they were both for men's titles. One was for the Universal title, one was for the U.S. title. And that match was the main event over both of those. They don't present anything right. They haven't been presenting anything right now in such a way that it would ever be the main event on a pay-per-view over any of those other things. Like, we know the Women's War Games is not going to be the main event. And no one thinks it would even, has remotely even being a chance of being the main event. We know it's going on first. Okay. Right. And cause we, right, and there was a time where the way they were presenting things, you didn't know until that night, whether or not they were, you know, whether or not that they might, you know, now it's like, you know that they're never, you know, unless something changes, or unless you just have a, you know, kind of a coincidental kind of thing where they were in Rhea's hometown earlier this year. Like, they're not, you know, again, unless it's something like that, there's like zero even chance that they're going to, of them main eventing a premium live event, because they're just not being presented that way. And that's kind of what's missing right now. The sense of just the presenting the, you know, what they have in such a way that it feels as important. Like, your women's world title is supposed to be equal to the men's world title. And what's going on in those divisions isn't being presented that way, really. And that's kind of what's missing on the kind of main roster WWE right now. Whereas, I mean, even in NXT, you know, Roxanne defending the title is just as big a deal as Trick Williams defending the title. I mean, like, in terms of, like, the way they present it and everything. Like you don't, you know.
No, it does. No, they are presenting it equal.
Yeah. Or in TNA, you know, if there's a big match for the women's title, it's like, you know, Jordan Grayson and Masha Slamovich felt every bit as important as Nick Nemeth and Joe Hendry at Bound for Glory, right? And that's kind of what's missing on the main roster WWE side right now. And maybe that's because of, you know, the people who are out or people who have been out, maybe. If that's the case, then, you know, again, and then it's time once again to be honest about, you know, the presence of the Horsewomen and Asuka and Alexa Bliss. That it's, you know,
it's the exact same as the men's. Like, it's just, I mean, obviously it's a smaller division, so it's going to affect them more. But, like, if you remove Roman Reigns, CM Punk, you know, AJ Styles, and, like, I don't know, whatever the top four are in WWE right now for the men, if you just take them off the board, your show is entirely different. Like, so it's not just, this is not just say these are the only women who can do it, who can be that, you know, that North Star or whatever. There are only so many people who can be this North Star, this, like, ridiculous draw, this whatever. So, like, just the fact that they have Charlotte and Becky and so-and-so and so-and-so out, like, out right now, yeah, man, it's going to change things.
Yeah, and so now I guess the one thing that they need to do when all those women are back, because they need to get back to having them wrestle each other.
Yes. Because
that was...
We need to stop. I mean, once they're all back, yes, one of them can be elevating the girls and whatnot and, you know, doing that. But they need to fight each other. We need guys. Wrestling works when Doomsday fights Superman. Wrestling works when the Joker fights Batman. Wrestling works when I can't think of a good one woman fights Cheetah. Okay. Yeah. Like it works.
Or when Luke fights Darth Vader.
Correct. Exactly.
And because that's what, I mean, look, it was built on.
Or when Rey fights Kylo Ren. Like, this is what we're here for.
And look, and also, look, it is different on the women's side, whereas, because the women's revolution was built around them being as good in the ring as the men. All right.
Yep.
That's what it was built around. So,
the statement that they were making that entire time is that. Yeah. We deserve more. We deserve just as much as the dudes. And they did, obviously. But that was the whole thing that started how WWE puts the narrative of the women's revolution is, you know, Vince's tweet, you know, we hear you keep talking or something like that.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, the women's revolution started. And then that turned into an evolution. And now we're where we're at, and we're waiting desperately for Evolution 2. I'm going to pitch it every fucking week.
And but now, I guess now the thing about that, though, is because of the way that the whole thing was structured and the way things were built, you can't have Rhea and Becky talk at each other for 3 months and then have one match. Okay.
Yeah.
You can do, look, you can have, yes, you can have Roman and Cody talk at each other for 3 months and then have one match. Okay. You can. Okay. You can have,
you could have, hang on, you could have got there with Bianca and Becky. At certain points in their rivalry, you could have got there with Bianca and Becky. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but. It's okay. The pool is smaller for the women. Just the odds that you're going to be able to pull off. Because I'm sorry, guys. Cody and Roman does not happen every single year, despite the fact that it happened 2 years in a row. A battle of that magnitude doesn't just fall into your lap, and you can't just create that. There are way many outside factors to them being like. As high on the bill and them being able to pull the shit that they did. Now, you could absolutely get there with all the women. It's just you have to put in the same amount of effort.
And but with them, like, you have to, because, well, I'll put it this way, because they did it for 6 years, for 6 years you had Charlotte and Sasha and Becky fighting Nikki and Brie Bella, and then you had Charlotte and Becky and Sasha fighting each other, then you had Charlotte and Sasha fighting each other. And you had Becky fighting Alexa Bliss. And you had Alexa Bliss fighting Sasha and Bayley. And they did that for 6 years. They had matches on TV. They had matches on pay-per-view. They all fought each other all the time.
Mix and match.
But basically, there was a certain standard that was set by doing that. And that's, I guess, the byproduct of that is you set a certain level of expectations.
The floor... The quality of those matches, floor, was very high.
And the frequency of them.
Yeah, that too.
Because
That's why the frequency, because you can all trust all those girls. Because, again, you're doing it in a limited sample size. You're not, you know, sending all your women out there. So you're sending your top women out there. But that creates a certain standard.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable, quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right, and so now, if you don't continue to recreate that kind of thing, what you do put on TV just doesn't draw the same level of interest.
Right.
And that's kind of
this, and then maybe this is just me being a dude, and I've said it before on this show, and I don't know who agrees with bad women's wrestling looks worse than bad men's wrestling.
Yes, that's true, and that's, you know, look, if y'all want to give us the Jim Cornette badge for saying it, then
fine. It's okay. It looks like it, at least like two dudes who are terrible, looks like they're getting into a scrap at a bar. Girls look like a uncoordinated cat fight. It is what it is. It's just the structure of how people are laid out. I don't even know what to tell you, but that's how it assaults my brain. So it sucks, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And so that's the thing that put us with the penalty for putting on a bad women's wrestling match is much more severe than
correct.
And that's because, you know, and that's a lot of that's because, look, we're a sexist society. Okay. That's a big part of it. Cause I was just wondering, I saw, like, you know, when you see those little recommendations for articles and stuff, when you go on your internet, there was a little video of like 10 botched match endings or something. And I scrolled through the video, and they were all women's matches.
Ooh, brutal.
Okay. That's
kind of shitty, though. That's shitty.
It is, but that's kind of
the theme. Like, was there, like, they're all at, you know, I don't know, SmackDown, or
was there? They were in different, some were on Raw, some were on SmackDown, some were older, some were newer. But.
Yeah,
hot take industry.
Right.
That's
a very real thing that you have to battle in the real world. As much as we think it sucks and we think it blows, I can just look at you and tell you that let's just look at the state of this country and look how people voted. I don't think people are giving women a fair shake. Too far? Is that too far? Am I crazy?
No, I don't know. Put it like this. When you hear the word, whenever you see the word or hear the word botch mentioned in professional wrestling, nine times out of 10, they're talking about women's thing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, at this point, you're probably.
Look, women, they don't mess up any more. They don't mess up more frequently than men do. They don't.
You just have a smaller sample size, so you have more percentage-wise who are not as good as the top half. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything's going to stand out more.
Yeah, because you have, let's see, because again, there are fewer women wrestlers, and
when there's a bad one, they stand out.
Yeah, but yeah, and it also. Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And then also, you know, because you have a smaller group, because you have so many more men wrestlers, it is a lot, you know, a bad male wrestler, they don't make it on TV as often, to be honest with you. I mean,
what it is.
Yeah, and. Like, if you want to see, like, really bad men's wrestling, you probably got to go to, like, an indie show somewhere, you know. There are, I mean, you know, if you want to see regular bad men's wrestling,
Yeah, dude.
But they don't put as many bad men wrestlers on TV because there's such a, there's a large group.
The funny thing, and then the really funny thing is there, if you go to an indie, in my experience, going to indie shows, if it's a women's match, you are about to witness one of, probably you are going to go get popcorn, you are going to go do whatever, I'll be nice, or it's match of the night, period, end of story. Like, it's so funny how the at least, again, in the last couple of years, how the talent has, like, dispersed itself. Like, at the indies, again, bad, you will find bad, bad men's wrestling, period. And then if, again, women's, in my experience, women's matches are either fine, terrible, or they are going to be match of the night, period. So it's just, it's, again, there are not as many women wrestlers as there are men wrestlers. It's just math.
Yeah. Or, like, you want an example, like, okay. Chad Gable. Chad Gable is, like, planted firmly in the middle of the men's roster.
Right.
Like, it'd be hard to even figure out who the, you know, female equivalent of Chad Gable is. Somebody who's a really good wrestler, but who ain't got no chance of ever winning no world title ever. Or who's just firmly planted in the middle.
But yeah. Chelsea Green could heal her way into a title.
But that's the thing though. Like, there's actually, I mean,
I don't see any universe where Chad Gable, in his current iteration and based on his resume of the past, I do not see any future where he is a world heavyweight champion or a WWE undisputed champion.
Yeah.
I do see a world where Chelsea Green is a WWE women's champion or a women's world champion.
Put it like this, if she had won the briefcase and cashed in the briefcase, nobody, there would have been, no one would have been surprised. Nobody would have been like, really? Whereas with like Austin Theory a couple of years ago, everybody was like,
oh, everybody was waiting for him to fail.
Yeah. Everybody was like, oh, come on.
But also, was that because who the champion was? It was Roman. Like, Austin Theory is not beating Roman Reigns. If,
no.
I don't know, Drew McIntyre or, like, any of the assholes Austin is feuded with were champion, even in that period in Austin's career, maybe they give him the rocket. But anyway, that was more about, no, this dude's not beating Roman's 1,000-year reign. Like, yeah. Stop.
But so, it's just,
I don't know if that's... But you're right. That's how he gets the briefcase, and man, immediately you just go, okay.
Whereas, look, Carmella and Nikki Cross both cashed in on Charlotte. Okay.
Twice.
So it's just
Carmella twice.
And it's just, you know, so it's the well, I guess my bigger point is that you have to book them. They're not the same. The men's and the women's divisions are not the same. You can't book them the same. You can't do the creative stuff the same. You can't. So you can't keep, again, you can't keep Rhea and Becky apart for 3 months and then they have one match. Like, because right. Becky and Bianca had several matches on their way to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to do it.
I would have done that with that match, with the slap heard around the world. I think you could have done the keep them away from each other, keep them away from each other, keep them away from each other. But you are correct that most of the time, it just doesn't make sense.
And what you can't, because again, we were given different for 5 or 6 years on that side. So like if Roman and Brock have been fighting each other on TV for years, right? Then that's the equivalent of it, basically, right?
Right.
But on the men's side, we live in a world on the men's side where, yes, you do keep, where Roman and Brock don't have a match. Roman wins the Royal Rumble and then they don't have a match until WrestleMania, right? That's the world, that's the world on the men's side, right? Where yeah. Cody wins the Royal Rumble and then he and Roman have a match at WrestleMania. Like that's, you know, that's, it's just, it's different, and you have to book it different. You have to present it different. And I think, you know, one of my, criticisms of Hunter is I think he is trying to present the women's division the same kind of way, which is why, like, Rhea and Charlotte barely interacted before WrestleMania, and then Rhea and Becky barely interacted before WrestleMania. And I think he's trying to do that, and, like, you know, but you can't, because you don't generate the same kind of interest level. Like, with the women's division, like, you have to constantly be presenting big stuff and good stuff, or, you know, because that's just, it's an uphill battle. Like,
otherwise people tune out. It is what it is. We don't, because we're sickos and we love these girls and we love these folks. Yeah. But the casuals tune out, guys. Rob will show you the YouTube, you know, numbers and the Twitter numbers and the this numbers and the that numbers. It ebbs and flows exactly like you read about, and it ebbs and flows with the stars.
Yeah. And that's, and so that's what, if you ask me what's missing right now, that's what's missing.
Just a little more star power?
So my advice to Hunter would just be, look, man, you can't, I know you want to present them the same way, but your audience has different expectations of how you present the women's wrestling. And you have to present it different, because they have different,
more top heavy.
Yeah. It does. And that's just, well, look at if you look at the women's tag team titles this year.
Right. They're on TV almost every week. What happened, Rob? Rob, what happened?
Well, Bianca and Jade are holding the titles.
There you go. Two people who are never going to miss a week of TV ever holding them.
And they've also been defending
them. If they did miss a week of TV, my point is, if they did miss a week of TV, everybody would freak out. Meanwhile, no disrespect at all. If Kayden and Katana miss a week of TV, I'm not sure the not sicko audience notices.
Yeah. And look, this year is the perfect kind of test, really, because Kayden and Katana were champs for like a month. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't much. I mean, they were on TV a few times, but then they didn't wrestle on any premium live events. Asuka and Kairi had the belts, and they did wrestle on a couple of premium live events. And then Jade and Bianca have been on almost every premium live event. They've only missed like one since they've been in this thing with the titles. It matters. And like last year, even, you know, they were defending on one PLE last year. That was when Ronda and Shayna were defending them. And that's because Ronda Rousey, right? So it matters, and you just, and so, I mean, the challenge, of course, look, you got 30 some women there now, so you have to, yes, you can't just stick the other 20 women in catering. No, but
right.
I mean, you do have to figure out how to work them in and to give them opportunities and all of that. But if your goal is to get that division to where it's held in the same level of importance, then you do have to go top heavy, and they do have to fight each other more often. That's just kind of what it is.
So you know what's one thing that you can do for a division to create more importance, to create more drama, to create more, you know, hours, you know, if they're employees, to create more hours and opportunities to get on television? You know what you can do, Rob?
You can create a championship.
You can. You can create a mid-card championship. Now, I believe this show of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, with DJ, myself, and the man with the golden shovel, Rob, there have been a few things in the women's division that we have been stumping for. One of them finally came true. And we do now have we talked about this last week. We do have now the beautiful, gorgeous, sexy WWE Women's United States Championship. Now, last week when we last left our heroes, we did not know how this thing was going to be contested at all. I thought that I heard that it was going to be on Raw and SmackDown. I may have heard that, and it turns out not to be true, or they went back on it, or whatever. And we also wondered, you know, how is this thing going to be contested? I mean, if it really is the only women's mid-card championship for a while, you could do a 64 or whatever, how many people tournament. You could have a match on NXT, a match on Raw, a match on SmackDown, and get all the way to Evolution. Well, we didn't quite get our dreams to come true. But they're not dicking around with this thing because it is apparently only going to be contested on SmackDown, which Rob put a pin in that one. But is going to be contested on SmackDown, and it is being decided in a tournament that has already started. And that tournament will end at Saturday night's main event special, the PLE, on December 14th, 2024. So I believe one of us did, not me, one of you, maybe it was DJ, posited that that was going to be the final, and that's a perfectly awesome place to put the final. So I'm not mad at that. And let's catch everyone up. So they did the tournament in one of my favorite ways, where it is a four matches, four triple threats, and then obviously that goes down to a semifinal and then a final. So the four triple threats right now are Bayley, Candice LeRae, and B-Fab in one. We have upcoming Bianca Belair, Chelsea Green, and Blair Davenport. Next up, we have a triple threat of Jade Cargill, Mishin, and Piper Niven. And finally, we have Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, and Electra Lopez. So, all these women will be in the, you know, and then, SmackDown already happened. Bayley and Candice LeRae and B-Fab went about 10 minutes, and Bayley got the win. So Bayley's going on to face the winner of Bianca Belair, Chelsea Green, and Blair Davenport. Spoiler alert, I think that's going to be Bianca Belair. Rob? Don't even. See, she doesn't have to take the pin, I guess.
Well, all right, because she says it's Bianca, Chelsea.
Chelsea, and Blair Davenport.
We know who's taking the pin.
Blair's taking the pin. Got it.
So it's just a matter of, you know, does Bianca pin Blair, or does Bianca get jumped?
Chelsea goofs into it. Like, Chelsea, yeah. Like, you know, she just goes into some roll-up that leans on the rope that all of a sudden she's yanking on something that the ref doesn't see. Like, something stupid.
Yeah,
or you can get Chelsea out of that. That doesn't hurt Bianca at all.
No.
And, by the way, Bianca, one of the best currently in the industry at the what the hell just happened face.
Yeah, and so
like when she gets surprised, rolled up, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, three, and the person like is all of a sudden up the ramp, and then, you know, the victim's like, what just happened? Bianca is one of the best at the what just happened. So she'll be great at that.
Yeah, and so I think it was one of the. I think it was SAP that said it was supposed to be a cross brand title, but then they put all the, you know.
We shouldn't bury SAP too hard, because I swear Aldis said it.
Oh, maybe
that it would be contested across all brands or something like that.
It's just, it so happened that every woman in this tournament is a SmackDown woman.
Well, we didn't know that last week when they announced it.
No, we
didn't. To be fair.
So. But you know what though, the thing about it, it's just like what we said about, you know, who the audience is interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this could be a test balloon.
That's the other thing, balloon,
you know, we had the North American title. It's working okay. It's working well, actually. I mean, like, people are winning it. Who should? And they're losing it when they should, as like a, you know, further of their character. So, you know, hats off. But this could be as a test balloon, or they could just go, and in a month, or a couple months, they could say, oh, it's just cross-brand now, and this or it's the U.S. title. Fuck it. Let's just say Bianca wins it, just for giggles, and she defends it for a few months on SmackDown, and she says, you know what? I'm awesome, so I'm just going to go to Raw, and I'm going to do an open challenge. And, you know, this is now the mid-card title that bounces around.
Yeah, and so I think it is a good idea to see how it's working, see how one of them is working before you put another one, before you add another one on the other show. Definitely. Because, you know, like we said, look, this is, you know, as good an idea as we think it is, this is championship number 10.
Call before you walk, walk before you run.
Yeah, so before you make, you know, so before you add championship number 11,
Jesus.
You know, you need to make sure that, you know, things are working properly with championship number 10.
Just think about that. Championship number 10.
Yeah, because
so, you know, put it this way, guys. Night of Champions has a minimum of 10 matches.
If they ever go back to all titles defended on Night of Champions, that's 10 matches. So to that end, you know, you got to make them all work. Right?
Night of Champions, by the way, is supposed to be a B pay-per-view.
Yeah. And so you got to make them all work, because there's no point in adding another belt if you're not going to make it work.
So what I'm saying is I hope they just go balls to the fucking wall with this thing. Like, I want to see it on TV minimum every week, obviously. Like, more than I see the tag titles. Like, if I see the U.S. title more than I see the tag titles, I will consider that a win. Like, seriously. Despite the fact that I probably just cut two women off of TV. Like, I just think it's so important to get this thing going. Because, okay, guys, women's titles, how long has there been a women's title? 100 years? Like, how long has there been a sustained women's mid-card title at the same time that there was a, you know, world title sustained on a top wrestling promotion? Like, let's get this thing off the ground. And then also, because of what we've been talking about, it doesn't have to be the top of the card that we're saying that you just so desperately need, and you do. But this can be a way station for every fucking buddy. This can be a way station for Charlotte Flair if she doesn't have shit to do. This could be a way station for Kalani Jordan to break into the main roster. This is so flexible.
Yeah.
It has so much potential. Please do not fuck this up.
And it's a, and look, even like through open challenges and such, it's a way to sneak an NXT person up to the main roster for a few weeks, like they did with Lash and Jakar with the tag team titles. You know, it's a way to, you know, give somebody a kind of a trial balloon.
Send them up to, you know, summer camp or whatever you want to call it.
So we want to get this right. And of course, look, the real test will be, look, it's going to be, you know, the first few months will be fine as long as they don't just royally screw things up.
And honestly, first few months, I need to see a qualifier or a number one contender triple threat type deal, or I need to see the champion defend. Like, the champion in a non-championship match, like a tag team match. Every single week, that title needs to be mentioned for the foreseeable future, probably until fucking WrestleMania.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, the real proof in the pudding will be a year from now, right? When the new car smell isn't there anymore. And, you know, now the creative people have to actually sit down and conjure up some energy to keep doing things with it.
Now, I will say that the creative people might listen to this podcast, because I will notice that if Chelsea Green and Naomi were ever to face off in this tournament, guess what it would be, Rob?
It would be a Saturday Night's main event.
It would be at Saturday Night's main event in the finals for the WWE Women's United States Championship. So I think, like, now, because we just kind of felt that one in our jellies, like, at the beginning when we first heard this thing was announced, and we even, you know, dream booked a, you know, fantasy booked a NXT, you know, a company-wide tournament. We still said it should be Chelsea Green and Naomi in the finals, and then whoever loses should take it from them in a couple of months. So,
yeah,
someone listens to this show. I'm convinced.
I think so, because look, when we have praised NXT all this time, they have followed up and stuck with it. So,
yeah, it's true. So, I appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah.
Actually, at this point, it might be Sean. Sean, you're the best.
Yeah.
We love you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Friend of the show, Shawn Michaels. All right. So we kind of went over the women's tournament. Now, the one thing they could do is – oh, no, they couldn't, because we have Jade Cargill, Meechan, and Piper Niven in one, and Bianca Belair, Chelsea Green, and Blair Davenport in the other triple threat. So if Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill – were to face each other in the finals, it would torpedo our Chelsea Green and Naomi. So I don't think that's going to happen. But if Rob, give me a percentage that they go with that.
See, now it wouldn't surprise me if Bailey won now. I mean, to be honest, because
Bailey won the title.
Yeah, well, because, see, I thought
they were going to have... Hang on, let's put a pin in Bailey. Tell me, what are the percentage chance that this thing ends with Jade and Bianca in the finals, and it goes that way in terms of, like, breaking them up or whatever?
Zero, yeah.
Zero?
Yeah, I don't...
I think we got a 10. I think 10.
I'm saying 0.
10%.
I think, right, you know, I think one will get further than the other, just like in the Queen of the Ring tournament. I guess
it doesn't matter if the one who doesn't. I mean, I guess they could play it however they want, but if the one who doesn't get further doesn't get pinned, which I don't think they will, in either one of their matches.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
I think Bianca. If I had to bet, I would bet on Bianca winning just because. It's tough because I don't know. Well,
Bianca and Chelsea, her three is Bianca, Chelsea, and Blair. So if Bianca wins, then Chelsea loses, and we get torpedoed.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
I don't think, well, put it this way, this will be a good way of seeing how far they think Jade has progressed, because if they get her out of there in the first round again, then that, I think you possibly could take that as a sign that they're not quite ready to do the singles thing with her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Who knows? I mean, because it's her, Piper, and Meechan. I could very easily see her winning that match, but
so she would either face Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, or Alexa Lopez. Probably Naomi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alexa's there to take the pin. Tiffany's not going to win because she has the money in the bank. And Naomi, it fucking just pushed Naomi to the moon. We've been saying it since she came back, so we don't got to go there.
Yeah. So, I think, well,
push her to the moon. Make her put a fucking belt on her, or put her in the bloodline and give the evil bloodline of girl to fight. Like,
I don't know. Like, I don't know who would be the evil bloodline girl.
Do we have any Samoan girls in NXT? Like Ava? I know she doesn't wrestle anymore, but
yeah. If they ever sign those Tonga twin girls, if they ever bring them in,
Naomi could review both of them and off the side of the whatever.
Well, yeah, you just need to give her a partner to fight both of them. You would need to do that. That's the only thing.
What I'm saying is, like, push this girl to the moon. She's been like she's since she's came back, she's slotted back into the same slot she's been doing, where she's helping everybody, making everybody look good. She's been winning a bunch and all that, but like, she helped Tiffany. She helped, like, let this girl get some shine. Because she deserves it.
Yeah.
Whatever. I like her a lot. I'm not even going to say she deserves it more or less or whatever because of this, that, the other thing. I just think she's a wonderful woman. So, fucking
yes.
She sports entertains me.
And, you know, like we said before, look, like the bigger names should all get a run with it. But right now, let's not do that right now. Let's, you know, because you have a couple of girls who the audience is interested in, but who aren't like, you know, main eventer or whatever. You have a couple of those girls. She's one. Chelsea's another one. This is a really good time to, if you're going to take a flyer on somebody who's not already like main eventer or whatever, it needs to be somebody that the audience is already into.
Right.
And you got to
put it this way: the audience reacts to.
Yes, and so that's both of them. If you're going to take a flyer on somebody, that's one of those. It should be one of those two girls. This is not.
I can tell you that Naomi winning, but it's the same thing we mentioned last week. Naomi and Chelsea are perfect because Naomi is a certified, no disrespect, certified mid-carder who maybe will banana peel her way into one world championship. And Naomi is a certified main eventer Hall of Famer. Yeah. So like, and that's cause, you know, we talked about it last week. It bears repeating. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins have both been United States champions in the last 10 years.
Yes.
Like, and big guys hold the Intercontinental title and the United States Championship. John Cena, when he did the open challenge, he was not prototype John Cena. How many championships did he won at that point?
Like Rob? 14, 15. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Like, I wasn't watching during that time, so I assumed it was right in the middle, but holy shit. So yeah, no, he was already a certified Hall of Famer and he was doing that shit. Ric Flair held the United States Championship. He was world champion. Like,
so did Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes held the world the United States Championship. Like, it makes sense. So, and that's why I'm saying Chelsea and Naomi are the perfect 1-2. Perfect. Yeah. It stamps the belt and it stamps what you're going to do with the belt.
Yes. Exactly. So. This is a good opportunity. Let's take advantage of it, folks.
Exactly. Or you just fucking give it to Jade and let her hold it for 400 days. Just do something absurd. I don't know. Just make this thing matter. That's all we ask. So I think that's enough about the WWE Women's United States Championship, that gorgeous belt. Rob, what else do we have on the agenda? Anything?
Well, speaking of women's wrestling, we were given a beacon of hope this afternoon. We were given a sign that the torch was lit for the Riders of Rohan to come.
Oh my God.
Yes, we have proof of life from the 14-time women's champion.
What, she suplexed somebody, or what do we got?
No. Oh, did you see it? You didn't see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. Because she
I saw very briefly the Christmas thing she did.
Oh well, that's we are all in Charlotte fan land. We are all taking this as a sign. Okay.
Okay. You think that it's not just a Christmas joke? You think that Mrs. Claus is close to unfrosting?
I would hope. Look, I hope she's not. I mean, she did. She did trick everybody nicely when they had that battle royal for the women's title back in May, and she did put up an image. She put a picture of the belt on her Twitter account, and then a lot of people were like, "Oh, she's coming back," you know. But she was just playing with us.
She's a world class troll, man.
But this time, I don't. You know,
she'll be back for December.
It's coming soon. It's just, I think, well, honestly, I think it probably means that the rehab is going well and it's almost time.
I think that she's basically, there is multi-layered with that Mariah Carey joke. Yes, the holidays are coming and yes, she's defrosting, but also, what's the famous phrase that Mariah has now put with this whole gimmick? It's time. And I think it's almost time for Miss Charlotte Flair to make her triumphant return.
Yeah. And so it's been a long year, folks. it has. And it's just, so any type of positive sign is welcome. Andrew, thank you.
Long and dark.
It's been a long year, man. And, it has. And so hopefully that, you know, okay. That's a sign.
Oh, but anyhow. Man. Well, I hope so. I honestly, again, she's not quite the horsewomen are the Black Voltron of the women's division. So anytime we get any one of them back, like, it's great. And just things just move better when they're all around. So I want Charlotte to come back ASAP.
Well, I do, obviously. So, yeah.
Yeah, we know, buddy.
Yeah, so, yes, we're holding out hope here.
I was gonna say, man. Hey, well, how many times was Dad U.S. champion? Maybe she goes to match that as well.
Well, he had it in. He was Intercontinental champion in WWE once.
But he was NWA U.S.
He was NWA U.S. champion both before and after he won the world title. So at least twice. Yeah. And yeah, she should, and look, just, you know, yeah, I'm kind of just beside myself here. I'm just happy to see some positive news here. Anyhow.
Rob?
Yes.
Unless Wikipedia is wrong, which it has been. We Mandela'd ourselves, buddy.
What'd we do?
Nope. Sorry. Sixth time. NWA, I didn't see it because it very, okay. NWA Mid-Atlantic / WCW United States Heavyweight Champion. Six times. Okay. I kept going over his list and I'm like, I don't see United States, because I was just looking for NWA or WCW. I don't know. My brain just kept going over it. Anyway, six times. So, Charlotte, seven-time WWE Women's U.S. Champion. Can't wait.
Sounds good to me.
Of course it does. All right, Rob, do we have anything else before the you know what? I'm going to throw this one out randomly. I was driving home. driving home today, and I was listening to my, you know, my giant ass playlist, because I am one of those weirdos who just says, yeah, I like that song, put it on my playlist. So it'll go from, you know, slow wedding music to country to rock and roll to screamo, and to wrestling themes. And It Lives, It Breathes. The folks who did they did Edge's song, right? Metalingus?
Yes. Alter Bridge, yeah.
Who does It Lives, It Breathes? They also did another wrestling theme. I can't remember. But anyway, they did a version of Sammy's theme song. That came on, and it's like an even more kind of like punky version of it. And I was like, I just got to thinking, because this Bloodline story is incomplete. You know, yes, everyone threw up the ones. Roman saved Sammy. Like, we're all good. But Sammy said he wouldn't join the Bloodline unless Roman apologized to Jay. Roman never actually apologized to Jay in a meaningful way. I think that we're still going to tug on these plot lines later, and there will be a, you know, the Bloodline's going to get together, but they're really going to get together at a different point. And I just thought randomly, it would be so cool if one of the things of, you know, Sammy always kind of the outsider, are you family, are you not, blah, 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 blah. You know, Roman kind of gives him the full approval, and they come out to Sammy's theme song at some random show where they're all wrestling. And I just thought the idea that they all come out to that, and Roman's like, yeah, 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 just nodding along. And then all of a sudden he does the let's go! Like, he does it. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Let those boys. And it's not even, like, for me, it's for them. Because Roman is one thing, but Jay and Jimmy, like during that whole group entrance to Sammy's theme song with them ska dancing and whatnot, give it to me, baby, give it to me. That was just a fantasy book that I wanted to share with everyone. So, do we have anything else, Rob?
I don't think so, and we've been going for about we're at an hour and a half here, so this is probably a good time because if we conjure up some other topic, then we'll probably end up going like 3 hours. We won't do that, right? So
definitely not. All right, man. So, Rob, any last messages for the people? Any last plugs? Any last anything?
Nothing. It's slow week news wise. I think we covered everything. If you're going to order full gear, hope you enjoy it. If you're going to order Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 12, that's also this weekend. Hope you enjoy that.
Oh yeah, it's fine. Excellent. So, all right, everyone. Well, sorry, Rob, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm kind of mumbling here. So, no, I'm just, you got it.
All right. I got it. So, that is Rob the Genius. He is my wonderful companion, DJ. We miss you, buddy. We always miss you. We miss you steering the ship. It's kind of like it's one of those things where I feel like we have everything under control, but it's like when you're driving a car and you feel like you're at traffic, you're keeping up with traffic, but everyone's going like 10 miles an hour too fast, and you're always like, can we just pull it back a little bit, guys, and then we'll all be good. That's what it feels like when I'm hosting the show without DJ. So, DJ, we miss you. We love you. Feel better soon, buddy. We love you. But I am Jason. I have been your host for the evening. You have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. You can find us on the Chairshot Radio Network, chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. You can find us on Pro Wrestling Tees. You can order our T-shirt. You can wear us on your bodies. You can promote us to your families. I'm sure they'll just think you're the coolest people ever, that you listen to a wonderful wrestling podcast such as ours. I am Jason. I am the man. I'm your host for the evening. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever the hell you want, but damn it, call it in the ring. And we're out of here till next week. Rob, hit the button.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.